This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Wedding day comes near. Instead of being thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal, what do many people do? They throw this wedding party where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws are annihilated and destroyed. Sahih. Violations that take place, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive the Muslimin. Instead of being thankful, music, gender mixing that take place in these wedding halls, my brothers and my sisters. And then you wonder as to why so many things start going wrong in your life. You disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after He showed you that which you love. He brings another example as well. Makes dua constantly that He gives him good grades. And the day he gets his good grades, instead of being thankful to Allah, what happens? Throws a party, blasting music, being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, this is how you end up returning the favor, my brothers and my sisters. You remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you refrain from that sin. It is a huge opportunity now for you to experience what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give him a way out. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And He will provide for him what he doesn't expect. You turn away from the haram, look at the doors that Allah Azza wa Jal opens up for you.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salli wa sallim ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan al-alameen. Ba'athahu Allah shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allah bi'idnihi wa siraj al-munira. You can say if you want, I know you're tired. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless our Qari Sab, Sheikh Hamza. He was very, very tired, had a long, long flight, and then he was very generous to come here and bless us with his recitation. My brothers and my sisters, today we have gathered here in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go through something extremely, extremely important. And perhaps, inshallah ta'ala, this qissah, the story that is mentioned in Surah Al-Qalam will change our perspective on life as a whole. There is a part of Surah Al-Qalam where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a garden that He destroyed. And there are a number of lessons that we can take away from this incident. I have 15 points written down. And I'm hoping, inshallah ta'ala, unless you guys are like Al-Imam Al-Bukhari or Imam Al-Shafi'i or Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi or Imam Malik, Imam Ahmed and the rest of these great Imams who had such sharp memory. Unless you're like them, right? Don't write it down. I don't think that's the case. So I'm really, really hoping that every single one of you guys can write down these benefits that may well be life-changing, and it changes our perspectives for the better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, بَعْدَ أَعُوذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ
إِنَّا بَلَوْنَاهُمْ كَمَا بَلَوْنَا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ إِذْ أقسموا ليصرمنها مصبحين ولا يستثنون فطاف عليها طائف من ربك وهم نائمون فأصبحت كالصريم فتنادوا مصبحين أن اغدوا على حرثكم إن كنتم صارمين فانطلقوا وهم يتخافتون ألا يدخلن اليوم عليكم مسكين وغدوا على حرد قادرين فلما رأوها قالوا إنا لضالون بل نحن محرومون قال أوسطهم ألم أقل لكم لولا تسبحون قالوا سبحان ربنا إنا كنا ظالمين فأقبل بعضهم على بعض يتلاومون قالوا يا ويلنا إنا كنا طاغين عسي ربنا أن يبدلنا خيرا منها إنا إلى ربنا راغبون كذلك العذاب والعذاب الآخرة أكبر لو كانوا يعلمون.
Which basically means, my brothers and my sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّا بَلَوْنَاهُمْ كَمَا بَلَوْنَا أَصْحَابِ الْجَنَّةِ. Indeed, we tested them just as we tested the people of those gardens. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about? Allah azza wa jalla is speaking about how he tested the people of Mecca. The people of Mecca, my brothers and my sisters, who are extremely ungrateful. They violated the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They went against what Allah azza wa jal told them to do. They had blessings after blessings, one after the other. And the greatest of these blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they knew that he was the Prophet. Salawatu Rabbi wa salamu alayhi. But they rejected and denied him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them with a lack of safety and security after they were so blessed. So Allah azza wa jal makes mention of this incident to alert them. Look what happened to them and look what may well possibly end up happening to you. إِنَّا بَلَوْنَاهُمْ كَمَا بَلَوْنَا أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ إِذْ أَقْسَمُوا لَيَصْرِمُنَّهَا مُصْبِحِينَ. When they took an oath that in the morning, they are going to take away the crops and the fruits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with. How did Allah bless them? They had a very wealthy father who left behind this garden which had crops, which had fruits, right? This father of theirs, my brothers and my sisters, used to give charity from this blessing that Allah had showered upon him. There would be a part that he would benefit from, and there was a part of that which he would go and give as charity, right? So instead of them continuing this legacy after he passed away, they took an oath that they were not going to give anything from this garden of theirs that they have now inherited to the poor. Right? In fact, my brothers and my sisters, as Ibn Kathir mentions, فَلَمَّا مَاتْ, after he passed away, they inherited it. وَرِثَهُ بَنُوهُ وَرِثَهُ بَنُوهُ قَالُوا, look what they said, لَقَدْ كَانَ أَبُونَا أَحْمَقْ. Our father was foolish, he was dumb. This is what they're saying about their father after he has departed from this world. Right? This garden that they have inherited from their father, they are now making what? A mockery out of him. Right? He was foolish, he was dumb. إِذْ كَانَ يَصْرِفُ مِنْ هَذِهِ شَيْئًا الْفُقَرَاءِ. Why was he dumb and foolish? Because he used to give a part of it to the poor. وَلَوْ أَنَّا مَنَعْنَاهُمْ لَتَوَفَّرَ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْنَا. And look what they said. If we now prevent them from taking a part of it, right, we will have more for ourselves. They said about themselves, indeed, life has become expensive. We have a lot of children. So why should we go and give it to the poor? Let us benefit from it and we'll utilize that which we have. Right? So what happened? They said, next morning, we are going to go to this garden of ours and we're going to remove its fruits. We're going to cut it all off. وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ. And they never said, Inshallah. Right? فَطَافَ عَلَيْهَا طَائِفٌ مِّن رَبِّكَ وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ. While they were asleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a fire that destroyed everything they possessed. All of these blessings that they had, right? Which would give them their bread and butter. It would put food on the table for them. gone by the night. فَأَصْبَحَتْ كَالصَّرِيمِ It became like the dark night. فَتَنَادَوْ مُصْبِحِينَ And they began to call each other out. Right? In the night, before everyone wakes up, right? The poor, they want their share of this garden, right? By the time they wake up, it's time to harvest. They said, no, in the night, we will go. Before everyone wakes up and before they see us taking from our gardens, we'll take everything. So when the people see, they will say, okay, there's nothing there and there's nothing for them. So they woke each other up in the night and they began to call each other to go to this garden. أَنِغْدُوا عَلَى حَرْثِكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَارِمِينَ فَانْطَلَقُوا وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ As they were walking, they began to whisper to themselves. أَنْ لَا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ What are they whispering amongst themselves? Right? Not a single poor individual will enter into this garden this morning. Right? وَغَدَوْا عَلَى حَرْدٍ قَادِرِينَ And they thought that they had the power, as they claimed. They thought that they could execute their plan. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهَا قَالُوا إِنَّا لَضَالُونَ So they came to the garden and they were in disbelief. Right? No. This is not our garden. Our garden doesn't look like the dark patches in the night because it was burnt. Right? So they continued looking for their garden. Right? So they said, no, this is not. They thought amongst themselves that they were lost. And then reality kicked in. بَلْ نَحْنُ مَحْرُومُونَ Indeed, we have been deprived. قَالَ أَوْسَطُهُمْ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ لَوْلَا تُسَبِّحُونَ There was a brother from amongst them, أَوْسَطُهُمْ أَيْ أَعْدَلُهُمْ From the most upright out of all of these individuals, who said to them, Didn't I tell you all not to carry this out? Didn't I tell you to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He used to remind them of Allah azza wa jalla. Don't do this. You know how we are reminded all the time? Don't do this, don't do that. And we start making names for those who sincerely advise us. They are the haram police. Right? The haram police. He was there advising them. They didn't take the advice. Right? قالوا سبحان ربنا إنا كنا ظالمين So they began to then take heed to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they realized their mistake so they admitted to themselves that indeed we have been oppressive we have wronged ourselves فأقبل بعضهم على بعض يتلاومون So then they squared up to one another and each one started blaming the other it was your fault as to why this all happened قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا طَاغِينَ And then they said amongst themselves, Woe to us, indeed, we have violated the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَسَى رَبُّنَا أَن يُبْدِلَنَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا إِنَّا إِلَى رَبِّنَا رَاغِبُونَ So they said, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace this with that which is better. إِنَّا إِلَى رَبِّنَا رَاغِبُونَ Indeed, now we will return back to our Lord. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we desire. كذلك العذاب الله سبحانه وتعالى he then says such is his punishment والعذاب الآخرة أكبر as for the punishment of Allah سبحانه وتعالى it is far greater لو كانوا يعلمون if only the people knew there is a punishment in this dunya many people think my brothers and my sisters that when you sin The only time that you will be held to account for these sins is when you meet Allah. You are gravely mistaken. We are punished in this world and then the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla in the hereafter is far greater. Isn't this a punishment in this dunya? What they had to experience with those very bad evil intentions that they had. 15 benefits, my brothers and my sisters, I want to take away or extrapolate from this qissah that is extremely relevant and relatable. The first benefit, my brothers and my sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take away your blessings in a heartbeat. Right? These blessings that we take for granted, my brothers and my sisters, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take that away in a heartbeat. You know, I always tell those brothers and sisters who listen to music about that verse at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَذَهَبَ بِسَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed, He would have removed their eyesight, He would have removed their hearing. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of all things. Right? It could go in a heartbeat. Let me tell you guys about my friend who is still currently in hospital, my brothers and my sisters. Right? You guys heard of Stamford Bridge? Where's Stamford Bridge? Chelsea Football Stadium. I don't think any of you guys want to go there at this moment in time, right? They're not doing great. When I went to visit him in hospital, he was in Peterborough Hospital. The brother's actually from Leicester, but they took him to a hospital in Peterborough. Went to visit the brother. This brother, my beloved brothers and sisters, one afternoon he was in Stamford Bridge. And while he was there, lying down on his hospital bed, right, he showed me, look, this is how I was. By the evening, my brothers and my sisters, he collapsed. Not because he was hit by a car, or someone came charging into him, or there was this freak accident that took place. He said, I just collapsed. This brother lost his ability to speak. He lost his ability to walk. He was in a wheelchair, right? He was in a wheelchair from that point on. And there he is. There he is, my brothers and my sisters. Lying down in a British hospital on a hospital bed. Right? He showed me the picture. And every time he needs to communicate with us, he'll take that whiteboard, you know, that you could just remove very quickly with that tab, and he writes down whatever he wants to tell us. Wallahi alladhi la ilaha ghayruh. This man, my brothers and my sisters, had the ability to move around so freely. He lost all of that in a heartbeat. I could quote verses. I could quote a hadith, my brothers and my sisters. However, when I mention these stories of real life incidents that are happening in today's day and age, it might strike a nerve. You could lose everything in a heartbeat. Right? Wallahi, seeing him on the hospital bed brought us the tears. From watching a football game in the morning or in the afternoon, by the evening he has lost everything. Right? I shouldn't say everything because he still had his iman. Right? I'll tell you guys another incident. You guys heard of the earthquake that happened in Syria and Turkey, right? Everyone heard about it? Did you guys hear about that incident involving an individual who was booted out of his home by a landlord? Anyone heard about that story? This man, my brothers and my sisters, couldn't pay the bills. Right? And it seemed that the landlord was merciless. And eventually he booted him out. And then the earthquake came, right? It tore this landlord's home to the ground. So the Syrian man, I believe it was Syrian, no, not Turkish, Syrian. The Syrian man is being interviewed. And he said, I don't wish bad onto him. However, currently both me and him are sharing the same tent. You could lose all of your blessings in a heartbeat. We take it for granted, right? These ears and these eyes that we use to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَذَهَبَ بِسَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ. They lost their garden overnight, thinking that they could plot, right? Thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not watching them, right? And that was the end result. Before you become a victim, my brothers and my sisters, Right? Take heed from what we are saying. Right? Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi has a very powerful statement. He says, مَا عُصِيَ اللَّهُ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا أَفْسَدَهُ عَلَى صَاحِبِهِ. Never does one disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla with something, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy that. You know, brothers and sisters, how many times I've seen a brother buy a nice car and he uses that car to pick up girls? He uses that same car to blast music? And it's only a matter of time before he has lost that car, my brothers and my sisters. Only a matter of time. Or something happens to the engine because he's revving it too much, huh? Well, that's what you thought. Allah Azza wa Jal destroys that. Right? The Arabs, they have a saying. الَّذِي يُصَاحِبْ يَذْقَرْ. The one who has haram relationships, he'll be struck with poverty. There are many weak narrations that mention a loss of wealth and also a zina in the same narration. They mention both of these things in the same narration. Right? Even the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ لَيُحْرَمُ الرِّزْقُ بِخَطِيئَةٍ يَعْمَلُهَا. One is deprived of provision because of the sin that he carries out. Right? Let me tell you guys something else. You know, on Instagram, I receive a lot of messages. Just about every message I received pertaining to someone who has a porn addiction. Always in that same message, he mentions that he is also struggling financially. Right. Just about every message that I receive of someone saying that he is now what? A pornography addict. Right at the end, mentions, I've got financial problems. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُحْرَمُ الرِّزْقُ بِخَطِيئَةٍ يَعْمَلُهَا. Because of the sin that you fall into, Allah will take away provision from you. You have a nice iPhone, sahih? iPhone 14. You drop it and the screen smashes. Screen smashes. Now you have to ship out what? £150 to fix a screen? Or a car crash? You've lost out. What do most people do here? They start blaming everyone except themselves, صح? That's one of the benefits that we'll come on to, inshallah ta'ala. ولكن الشاهد, my brothers and my sisters, a lot of things start going wrong in our lives because of what we have earned with our own hands. And a lot of the time we make excuses for ourselves. We are in denial, right? Instead of being thankful for our blessings, we throw it back against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me share this verse with you guys that came down in the battle of Uhud. When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right, was attacked by the mushrikeen. And let me just make something very clear here. Because I know some key words may trigger some informants who might be sitting here. Just in case we have anyone here that works for Channel 4 or ITV, who's looking to cut something out, I'm here to spread peace and compassion. I do not incite violence towards anyone. Does that make sense, my brothers and my sisters? So coming back to what I was saying, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at war with the mushrikeen, right? And I'm not here recruiting. Just because we're speaking about the battle of Uhud, one of the verses that came down was وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told 50 of his companions not to come off this mountain called Jabal Rumah. For those who have gone to Al-Medina and you visited where the battle took place, there's that small mountain that people go and climb and take selfies on. Sahih? Small mountain. 50 of the companions were on there. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, don't come off. Right? Even if you see the birds snatching the warriors off the ground. But then when they thought that they won the battle, they began to argue amongst themselves, khalas, the battle has been won. Let's get off. Some of them were saying, al-ghanima, 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 meaning the war booty, Right? And they were told, didn't the Messenger of Allah say, don't come off no matter what happens? They were like, Allah, it's done. So they came off. Khalid bin Walid came round and he ended up attacking the Muslims from the back. This led to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam's helmet being crushed, his tooth being broken, and his face being gashed. Allah sent down this verse, وَعَصَيْتُم مِّن بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُم مَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after he showed you what you loved. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen comments on this and he says something very, very profound, my brothers and my sisters. He says, you have a sister who makes dua throughout the whole year, Ya Allah, grant me a pious husband. May Allah grant all you sisters who have attended a pious husband. Say ameen. And you guys as well. May Allah grant you all pious husbands. No, sisters. Sisters. Yeah, I say it with conviction. Sisters. Huh. Nothing else, guys. I don't think anything else allowed, right? Like, makes dua for the whole year. Huh? And then, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants her that blessing of this husband, and the wedding day comes near, sahih? Instead of being thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal, what do many people do? They throw this wedding party where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws are annihilated and destroyed. Sahih? The violations that take place, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive the Muslimin. Right. Instead of being thankful, music, gender mixing that take place in these wedding halls, my brothers and my sisters. And then you wonder as to why so many things start going wrong in your life. وَعَصَيْتُ مِن بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُم مَا تُحِبُّونَ. You disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after he showed you that which you love. He brings another example as well. Makes dua constantly, right? That he gives him good grades. And the day he gets his good grades, instead of being thankful to Allah, what happens? Throws a party, blasting music, being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, this is how you end up returning the favor, my brothers and my sisters. Right. You know, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was locked in that chamber by the wife of Al-Aziz, right? He was locked in the chamber by the wife of Al-Aziz. By the way, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was granted half the beauty of mankind. Utiya shatr al-husn. Right? So she found an opportunity when he was serving her to now commit a zina with him. And this is when she said, hey Talak, let's get it on. Right? She locked all of the doors and she thought this is her moment now. Right? To commit fahisha with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. No one's watching. It's just her and him. And of course, Allahu thalithuhuma. Allah is the third. What did Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam start doing in this situation that he was in? Innahu rabbi ahsana mathwai. The mufassirun, they looked at this verse and they mentioned two meanings. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so good to me. And because Allah was so good to me, how can I now go and disobey him? Where was Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and where is he now? He was in the dark pits of a well, brothers and sisters, in the middle of nowhere. And now he is what? Growing up in a palace. Look where I was and look where I am now. And now I'm going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other mufassirun, they mentioned, he began to remember the favors of his master who was so good to him, allowed him to live and grow up in his palace. And now I'm going to stab him in the back and cheat on the one who was so good to me. When you're under that blanket, right? And the shaitan is whispering, right? Remember the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah did so much for me. I don't think we've ever woken up, my brothers and my sisters, and our fridges were empty. And if it was empty, we had, we had the money to go and fill that fridge right after. Right? And when you do that, my brothers and my sisters, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you refrain from that sin. It is a huge opportunity now for you to experience what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give him a way out. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And He will provide for him where he doesn't expect. You turn away from the haram, look at the doors that Allah azza wa jal opens up for you. Doors of provision, doors of so much good. But the shaitan keeps whispering, if you don't do this, then you'll probably lose out. Still got another 14 guys. Inshallah, I'm going to run through them. Bi-idhnillah al-bari. So what was the first one? I got a little bit excited there. Went on for a little bit. What was number one, brothers and sisters? Huh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could remove our blessings in a heartbeat. Don't forget, my friend, brothers and sisters, right? Who is no different to me and you, right? He lost so much. Some of these body parts that we take for granted. However, that which makes me happy, my brothers and my sisters, is that this calamity actually brought him closer to Allah. And this is now the second benefit. And this is also what we learn from this story, right? Didn't they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after they were struck with that calamity, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, quoting them, قَالُوا سُبْحَانَ رَبِّنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا ظَالِمِينَ. Right? And then later on they said, عَسَى رَبُّنَا يُبْدِلَنَا خَيْرًا مِنْهَا إِنَّا إِلَى رَبِّنَا رَاغِبُونَ. Now we're going to go and return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A calamity, my brothers and my sisters, that brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than a blessing that causes you to go far away from Allah jalla fi'ula. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Sometimes certain calamities come our way. We are struck with a huge financial loss. Maybe if you had that, you would have been an arrogant, haughty individual who walks on the face of this earth. Right? It caused them to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that friend of mine, my brothers and my sisters, he began to gravitate towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and most importantly, his salah was something that he would not leave off again. It brought him closer to Allah jalla fi'ula. And that was not the case before. Right? Inna ila rabbina raghibun. Right? Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, lawla mihanud dunya wa masa'ibaha la asab al-'abd min adwa' al-kibr. If it wasn't for the calamities and the trials that one experiences, he would be struck with arrogance. And arrogance, my brothers and my sisters, is not a light matter. Right? How many people do I know, my brothers and my sisters? They were gangsters, drug dealers. They were hit really, really hard. And that's what brought him back down to earth. That's what brought him back down to earth. That calamity. That trial that he was struck with, maybe his legs were broken. He found himself in a wheelchair all of a sudden. He wouldn't listen to anyone. Now, he's what? At home, humbled. But before, he used to walk on the face of this earth as if he's the greatest man on earth. Right? These trials and these tribulations, these calamities, humble individual. لولا محن الدنيا ومصائبه لأصاب العبد من أدواء الكبر. But from the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jal is that He causes you to go through these calamities because it cleanses you. It brings you back down to earth. Right? So what was benefit number two, my brothers and my sisters? Calamities that bring you closer to Allah Azza wa Jal is far better than blessings that bring you away from Allah Jalla Fi'ula. Would you agree that this is something that happens, my brothers and my sisters? Huh? Money comes out of nowhere. Is this money actually bringing you closer to Allah? Or is it what? Bringing you further away from Him? Benefit number three. It is highly possible that the father that left behind this garden, my brothers and my sisters, didn't teach them about the importance and merits of giving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence why they plotted the way they did. Write down, my brothers and my sisters, the role of the father in that child's life. Yes, he was righteous. Yes, he used to give. However, did he give them the correct Islamic education? This is the point here. Because the way they reacted, or the way they carried themselves, is perhaps not the way that someone who is very well educated would. Are you brothers and sisters with me? If the father has been telling his child, look, these are the merits and the benefits of giving. Look what Allah is going to do for you. Right? It's very highly unlikely that that child would just go against that advice if this is something that was repeatedly mentioned to him. Right? Number four, my brothers and my sisters. If you don't teach your child accordingly, they may well curse or insult you after you pass away. And I'm speaking to all of you young people here. A lot of the time when we speak about parenting, young people switch off. Put your hand up if you want to get married. The married brothers, they're not putting their hands up. Because all their wives are in the women's section. They're scared that the camera is going to catch a look. Everyone wants to get married, right? You know that excitement of getting married, my brothers and my sisters, do you think it lasts long? Ask your parents. I mean that excitement, you know when your desires have gone through the roof, when the guy's roasting, after he gets married, my brothers and my sisters, okay, next thing now. What's the next thing that you begin to wish for? To have children. Right? Begin to wish for children. Even after you have children, my brothers and my sisters, reality will kick in and you'll say to yourself, okay, I've got a child now. I want to bring them up in a good manner. Most people who are smart and intelligent, my brothers and my sisters, even if he's lived the worst of lives, he does not want that for his child. So why am I saying that this issue is very relevant to you guys? Be extra careful with who you pick as a spouse. You may not see it now, but you'll see it later on. If that spouse, my brothers and my sisters, is someone who is absolutely wasted, right? And they're not people who want to actually better themselves, you're going to really, really struggle. Today I hear about sisters who want husbands with a road or with a touch of road. Sisters want husbands or spouses with a touch of road. Allahu Akbar. What is that even supposed to mean? What is that even supposed to mean? That's the kind of mindset. Calm down, guys. Tayyib, today you have that touch of road. What tomorrow? What is it that you want tomorrow, my brothers and my sisters? How many sisters were advised, don't go with this guy? And vice versa as well. They were just focusing on the looks and nothing else. Not the akhlaq and not the deen, which are the two things that a woman should be prioritizing above everything else. No one is saying that you can't get someone who's good looking. No, it's something to take into consideration. We're in a sexualized society. If you're not attracted to your spouse, right? You come home. You want to have that sort of, you know, good feeling of seeing your wife and vice versa. Right? You have haram all over you. So there has to be that level of attraction. When the Messenger said, concentrate, a woman is married, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْأَةُ to the arba', she's married for four reasons. The one that was given emphasis to is the deen, right? Did the Messenger say you should disregard the other three? No, that's not what he means. Yes, deen is number one priority, but also beauty and other aspects are taken into consideration. Even the lineage should be taken into consideration. There has to be a level of attraction. From the objective of marriage is that it helps you lower your gaze. So if you marry a sister that you're not attracted to or vice versa, then you're not fulfilling one of the objectives of marriage, if that makes sense. Does that make sense? So it's important. So it all starts with the spouse that you pick. And it is the mother who's going to be spending a lot more time with the child. She's a road girl. Huh? Why are you guys laughing for? It's a lot of the road girls. Huh? Just someone that you found from outside. Right? Who has absolutely no morals and values. What's going to happen to your child tomorrow, my brothers and my sisters? Right? Eventually you'll break up and she's the one that's got the rights over the child in this country. The law is not on your side, brother. The law is not on your side. Remember that. You know, my brothers and my sisters, as someone who distributes inheritance. You guys know what inheritance is, right? When you pass away, you've left behind £1 million. It gets distributed in a manner that according to the law of Allah Azza wa Jal. Tilka hududullah. You know how many times I've seen children cursing their father? Even though the father, my brothers and my sisters, he left behind a lot of money to keep them afloat for maybe the next 20 or so years. Millions he's left behind. Day and night he would work for his children, ensuring that after he passes away, they have enough. How many times have I seen that? After he's departed from this world, after he's died, his children, they are at each other's necks. If he could take the life of his own blood brother, he would do that. Right? You can see murder in his eyes. I'm looking at him, he's got murder in his eyes. Right? Why is this happening, brothers and sisters? The father, all he cared about is putting them in a good financial position. But my brothers and my sisters, look what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَسْتَرْعِيهِ اللَّهُ رَعِيَّةِ يَمُوتُ يَوْمَ يَمُوتُ وَهُوَ غَاشٌ لِرَعِيَّةِ إِلَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. There's not an individual who has responsibility placed over his shoulders. The day when he dies as a deceiver. Yes, he deceives his own children. How? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَمْ يُحِطْهَا بِنُصْحِهِ. He did not advise them accordingly. He did not give them the correct Islamic education. If we don't know, brothers and sisters, how do you expect our children to know? I think it's right to say we are second generation Muslims in this country, or maybe third, sahih? If we as a generation don't know, brothers and sisters, would you be surprised tomorrow if your child walks home and he's holding a Christmas tree? I wouldn't be surprised. And that is because we're not educating them. Or the child comes home, and just to make it very clear, I don't have my own views and opinions, right? The child comes home and he says, Dad, which pronoun should I use? Guys are laughing. Wallah, I'm getting phone calls all the time, brothers and sisters. Confused. And then you as a parent, and we're having this now, right now. The parent starts getting angry at his child. Why are you getting angry? We took them to these schools and these universities, which are breeding grounds for all types of isms. I'm really holding back, guys. And everything else. Huh? And then they come home and their minds are polluted. And they're asking questions. And then you're getting upset. Why are you getting upset, oh father or auntie? Because you don't know, right? Brothers, you guys, and sisters who have attended, I really, really fear for the next generation. You know why I fear for them? Because the problem is with us. We are uneducated. We are not actively going out to learn our religion. Right? We are not learning the basics. The kids, mashallah, they know Pythagoras' theorem, a squared plus b squared plus c squared. Sahih. The periodic table has been memorized at the back of his hand. Huh? Condensation, evaporation, alliteration, and all of the other shations that are out there, right? They know it inside out. Well, I one time, a couple of years ago, actually stood outside of the masjid and started asking them, what is the meaning of Islam? Not a single one of them could tell me. But you ask him about Pi, he goes, yeah, I know, Pythagoras' theorem. Well, I'm not saying this to put anyone down, but brothers and sisters, this is the reality. Right? So what was number three? Your children may curse you after you pass away if you did not educate them accordingly. Isn't this what they said about him? كان أبونا أحمق. Our father was foolish and dumb. And I've witnessed it enough times, my brothers and my sisters, even though he's left behind millions. Huh? And the Jannah is made haram upon that father, وَلَمْ يُحِطْهَا بِنُصْحِهِ as in Sahih Bukhari, Hadith Ma'qil ibn Yasar. Jannah is made haram upon him, not because he didn't put a roof over the heads. No, he did all of that. Because he did not advise them accordingly. And every single one of us, inshallah ta'ala, is going to get married. And we're going to have children. Inshallah. Comes a responsibility, guys. What are we on? Five. The righteousness of their father could have got them saved from this punishment. The fact that the father was righteous. We mentioned there was a possibility that he did not educate them properly, right? But he was still righteous. Because he used to give to the needy and the poor. And perhaps maybe because of his righteousness, they ended up benefiting from it. Right? Due to the fact that this calamity brought them closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. And you being righteous, my brothers and my sisters, right? It can go a very long way with regards to the good fortune that comes the way of your children. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, my brothers and my sisters, right? And there's this verse in Surah Al-Kahf, which I'm thinking, or I'm assuming all of you guys have memorized. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. The two young men, right, who lost their father, right? And then there was a lot of wealth that was buried under that wall. Anyways, you can go to that story there. But Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam said to Musa, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَنْ يَبَلُغَا أَشُدَّهُمَا وَيَسْتَخْرِجَا كَنْزَهُمَا رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ. There was treasures in there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to benefit from it later on. Anyways, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. They say this individual was seventh generation. Sorry, these kids were benefiting from the righteousness of their grandfather who passed away seven generations ago. Right? They say his name was Kasih. وكان من الأتقياء, and he was from the pious. Ibn Abbas, he said, حفظ بصلاح أبويهما. Because of the parents being what? Righteous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved them. سعيد بن المسيب أنه كلما أراد أن يصلي قيام الليل نظر إلى ابنه. Every time he wanted to pray the night prayer, my brothers and my sisters, he would look at his child. نظر إلى ابنه فقال إني أزيد في صلاتي ليصلحك الله وليحفظك الله ثم يبكي وهو يتلو قوله تعالى وكان أبوهما صالحا. Every time he would look at his child, my brothers and my sisters, and he would say, I do more prayers. I do more and more prayers. Just so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can rectify you guys and preserve you. And then he would cry and cry and recite this verse, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father was righteous. Your children, brothers and sisters. Your children. You plan on having, right? Your righteousness could go a very long way. And what ends up happening to them later on when you depart from this world? Be smart and intelligent and think long term with the decisions that you make right now, brothers and sisters. Number six. I've only got another 10 minutes left. You're right. Number six, right? Being self-critical when things go wrong. This is one of the most important benefits that we can take away from this story, guys. Right? قَالُوا سُبْحَانَ رَبِّنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا ظَالِمِينَ. When reality kicked in, they turned to themselves and they said, indeed, we have wronged ourselves. We were oppressive. Right? My brothers and my sisters, when things go wrong in our lives, we as human beings tend to take the easier option, which is we start pointing the finger at everyone except ourselves. Agreed? We are in denial. We don't want to accept that we might have some blame to that which is happening. Right? Some of the righteous of the past, and Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi mentions this. He says, قال بعض السلف إني لأعصي الله وأرى تغيرا في دابتي وامرأتي. I disobey Allah, then all of a sudden I begin to see a change of attitude in my wife and also in my riding beast. This really, really, wallahi, changed the way I look at a lot of people's problems. Sometimes I get invited over to arbitrate between a husband and a wife. They're going through a lot, right? And it's not rocket science to see why they're going through so many problems in their lives. It's not rocket science to see. Wallahi, it's not. Right? Things are going wrong in their life, my brothers and my sisters. I remember one time there was a sister, right? I was dealing with her and her husband's problem. I said to her, why do you think all these problems are happening? She said, because I'm getting closer to Allah. Because I'm getting closer to Allah. And because of that, Allah loves me, making me go through all these problems. I asked her one question. After this one question, she began to melt. She went into meltdown. I told them why they're going through all these problems. Because they're eating haram money every day. Right? The sins that we fall into has a direct impact on our marriages and our day-to-day dealings. Also, I told her, because of the way she dresses and the way she carries herself online. She has an online profile. Right? I don't think anyone who has ghairah, protective jealousy, would allow his wife to go and do that. Or dress like that and put these kind of pictures up there. And I advise them as well with all of the things. But the point of the matter is, a lot of us were in denial. The sins that we fall into has a direct impact on our relationships with the people, whether it may be our spouses, whether it may be our work colleagues, whether it may be whoever it might be. You will begin to lose a lot because of your sins. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, he says somewhere else, ما عصي الله بجاه إلا أفسده على صاحبه. You never disobey Allah Azza wa Jal with the position that you have. You know, the position that you have, your status in society. It could be that you're a sheikh, it could be that you are an imam, it could be that you are a manager, it could be that you're a counselor. You have a position in society. Right? You let your guard down, you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and my sisters, you could lose that position that you have. And then you begin to feel sorry for yourself. Oh, it's a witch hunt from everyone. Everyone's against me. How's your private life? Let me tell you guys, my brothers and my sisters, how an individual drops. I call it how one drops in the eyes of the people. Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi says the following. He says the following. And this shows us how we need to be very self or very retrospective, self-critical of ourselves. He says, رأيت كثيرا من المنتسبين إلى العلم أهملوا نظر الله عز وجل في الخلوات فمحا محاسن ذكرهم في الجلوات. I saw many people of knowledge. This is very important here. They stopped being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, watching them when they were alone. So what did Allah do to them? He caused the good things that are mentioned about them in public to disappear. Today people are praising you, sah? They're saying good things about you. And then all of a sudden tomorrow, you're absolutely nothing. People all of a sudden now are speaking negatively about you. You can point a finger at everyone, but the smart and intelligent individual, my brothers and my sisters, comes back to reality and accepts that I may be going through all of this because of sins that I carried out behind closed doors. This is how you drop in the eyes of the people, my brothers and my sisters. Have you guys heard of Muhammad ibn Sirin? Put your hand up if you've heard me say this story before. 1, 2, 3, 4. Muhammad ibn Sirin, my brothers and my sisters, he was from the students of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Hurairah, who narrated the most hadith, والمكثرون في رواية الأثر Abu Hurairah لابن عمر. As Suyuti mentioned, I believe it was 5,342 hadith that he narrated. Muhammad Sirin is a student. Muhammad Sirin, just to show you guys how they were. Look, I got given the hand, 5 minutes. I'm done, guys. 5 more minutes, we're done. He was thrown into prison. You know why he was thrown into prison? Does anyone know? He was thrown into prison. Can anyone tell me why? Hiya, jama'ah. Huh? He said he was broke. That's what you call a touch of a road. He bought some oil, and as businessmen, what they tend to sometimes do is they buy things on credit, they sell it, and then they pay the creditor back. Sah? That's exactly what he did. Took it on credit, and he went to start selling it. However, all of a sudden, he found a big fat rat stuck inside of this oil, and he had to pour everything out. He had to pour everything out. He's got a problem. He had this incurring debt, and because he couldn't pay it back, he was thrown into prison. You know what he said, brothers and sisters? عَيَّرْتُ رَجُلًا بِالْفَقْرِ قَبْلَ 30 سَنَةً. I degraded a broke man that I saw 30 years ago. He degraded him. He saw him, he was broke, he had nothing. And he began to speak down on him. And he said, because of what I done 30 years ago, I'm going through it right now. How many of us think like that? Now, when sometimes the calamity and the hardship strikes, that it may well be because of a sin that we committed. Right? Wallahi, brothers and sisters. And I've seen this happen to so many aunties. Aunties, they degrade others because of what they see other young women doing. Look at her. Huh? Look at her. She's like the street girl, صح? And they start making all of these very negative remarks about her, forgetting that she has a daughter. How many brothers and sisters? How many I have seen? Instead of being thankful, ya Allah, alhamdulillah, you know, you guided my daughter. She's always at home. She's righteous. And making dua for that girl who's going through this very negative, problematic trial. Look at her. I think in Somali they call it Datka la yasayo. Sahih? When you degrade. There's a narration, my brothers and sisters, even though it's weak. من عير أخاه بذنب لم يمت حتى يعمله. Never does one degrade another for a sin except that he will carry out that same sin before he dies. You know, back in the day, my brothers and sisters, there was this brother who was with me in Yemen. He would send fatwa, Islamic verdicts, to brothers in West London. It is haram for you to wear trousers. And anyone who wears trousers, cannot come and give reminders in the masjid. And he would say, I'd rather get my knee chopped off than for me to wear trousers. Wallahi kan yaqul hada. You say this. And he was really, really harsh with these people. He would degrade them and everything. In Yemen, we lived in cuckoo land, guys. Very out of touch with reality. It was a village. No internet. Well, there was a bit of internet, but it was very hard to use. He comes back after the war. Because Yemen went into turmoil, right? Everyone had to leave. And he has to start working, right? He has to move on with his life. So much time goes past, still no job, because every job you have to wear trousers. And then guess what, brothers? Eventually he gave in. He started working in London Heathrow. He didn't just have to wear trousers, he had to wear purple trousers. Who wears purple today, guys? Extremely colorful, sah? Ash-shahid min al-kalam. Things may happen because of what we have uttered and the way we have behaved. Being self-critical of yourself when things start going wrong. This is point number 6. So Ibn al-Jawzi, he commented on this incident of Muhammad al-Sirin, and he said, وَمِثْلُ هَذَا كَثِيرٌ وَمَا نَزَلَتْ بِآفَةٌ وَلَا هَمٌ وَلَا ضِيقُ صَدْرٍ إِلَّا بِزَلٍ نَعْرِفُهُ. There's never a time when I go through hardships and difficulties except that it is due to a sin that I committed. And then look what he says. I might start making excuses for myself. وَرُبَّمَا تَأَوَّلْتُ تَأْوِيلًا فِي بُعْدٍ فَأَرَى الْعُقُوبَةِ. You know when you start making excuses for yourself? He goes, I might start doing that and then I begin to see the punishment of Allah becoming even more worse. I'm just going to give you guys the final points and I'm going to have to stop. Write down number 7, guys. The blessings that you have is a test from Allah. How are you going to conduct yourself with these blessings? Wasn't this a blessing that they had, these people? Who possessed this garden? Instead of being thankful, instead of doing that which Allah told them to do, they thought, they could deceive Allah Azza wa Jal by going in the night before the morning to take all of these blessings that Allah Azza wa Jal had showered upon them. Right? Number 8, my brothers and my sisters, they showed humility and humbleness by admitting their mistake, and they weren't stubborn. It is a fadila, it is a virtue to admit your mistakes, my brothers and my sisters. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises you when you admit your mistake. وَمَا تَوَاضَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا إِلَّا رَفَعَ. Instead of being stubborn in your ways. Number 9. Being wary of having bad intentions or intending to do evil. You may have that firm determination now. Not just the thought. We're not talking about a thought. Because there's 5 levels of intent. مراتب القصد خمس هاجس ذكروا فخاطر فحديث النفس فاستمع يلي هم وعزم كلها رفعت سوى الأخير ففي الأخذ قد وقع. There are 5 levels of intent. I'm talking about when you have that intention now to go and do haram. You're on your way to doing that. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may well destroy you or whatever else you're trying to accomplish. Hadith of the two who square up to one another. إِذَا الْتَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا فَالْقَاتِلُ وَالْمَقْتُولُ فِي النَّارِ. Listen up, my brothers and my sisters. For those, even in the month of Ramadan, who are looking to rip people to shreds. The Messenger of Allah is saying, when two Muslims, they square up to one another, both the killer and the killed are in the hellfire. Companions ask, طيب, we understand the killer, but what about the one who was killed? Messenger of Allah said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَرِيصًا عَلَى قَتْلِ صَاحِبِهِ. He himself had, right, that firm determination to go and take his life as well, right? But the killer got the final blow. But he still wanted to do the same thing, صح? Except that he lost. Both of them are in the hellfire. And we are held to account for us wanting to carry out this evil, brothers and sisters. The more righteous the place or the more righteous the time, the worse it is. Even when you're making these very bad intentions to carry out that crime. How many are we on? 9. This is now number 10. Number 10, right? Number 10. Withholding from paying zakat can lead to the disappearance of your wealth. Put your hand up if you had like £365 in your bank for the last 12 months. Actually, don't put your hand up. The brothers might come after you, akhi. Allahu alam. It's something as small as that, brothers and sisters, where you have in your bank which goes or which stays there for a whole year, which you didn't have to pay 2.5% on. I heard Leighton's hot, huh? Allahu alam. How many is that? Number 11, the impact of evil and righteous companions. Right? فَتَنَادَوْ مُصْبِحِينَ. They began to call one another. Right? Late night. Early morning. Let's go. And then there was that righteous individual who used to advise them all the time, right? قَالَ أَوْسَطُهُمْ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ لَوْلَا تُسَبِّحُونَ. Didn't I tell you the righteous who used to advise them all the time, which they didn't appreciate. If only they listened, that garden may still have been there. He used to remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That righteous person that you mock, you call him what? Huh? The haram police, you make fun of him. Wallahi is saving you, right, from a punishment in this world before the hereafter. It's people like that you should hold on to. Even if you feel as if, oh, he's just always, he wants khair for you. Your true friend, right, is the one who really advises you, my brothers and my sisters. The other guy who eggs you on, this is not a true friend. If you look at the word friend in the Arabic language, how do you say it? Sadiq, right? The root letters are what? Saad, Dal, and Qaf. Which means truthful. Or to be truthful. The one who's truthful, he's the true friend, no one else. Number 12. Sahih? The greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge. Before they were able to execute that plan, Allah Azza wa Jal took them or dealt with them. I'm just going through them. I'm done. Abshir, Abshir, Abshir. Huh? Yeah, they're going to come after you. Okay. Number 13. Sah? Huh? 113 now, right? When you mistreat the weak or the incapable, there is someone who is more stronger and mightier and greater than you who will deal with you accordingly. Number 14. المعاملة بنظير القصد. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with the people with the opposite of the intention. يعني the bad intentions. Sometimes you want to do something that is bad, but then Allah Azza wa Jal will deal with you with the opposite. This is a قاعدة فقهية. المعاملة بنقيد القصد. How many is that? I got one left, صح? How bene, huh? We got two left or one? اختلف العلماء إلى قولين. Scholars have taken two views. He's got 14 written down. He's got 14 written down as well. Got one last one, yeah? Number 15, guys, and this is the most important. And I've already kind of like touched on it. How having beneficial knowledge could have saved them from this calamity. Sahih. Then Allah Azza wa Jal punished them. Right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them, my brothers and my sisters, and took away what they had. Right? The scholars, they mentioned, my brothers and my sisters, if Allah has blessed you, then look after that blessing. How do you look after that blessing? By being thankful, by doing what Allah told you to do. That's knowledge. They didn't have that. They thought they could get away with it. They undermine the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what He's capable of doing. Knowledge could have saved them, and knowledge is what is going to save us, my brothers and my sisters, in today's day and age, and also when our children come along tomorrow. Are you brothers and sisters with me? You can get angry. You can get upset. You can sit around feeling sorry for yourself when things start going wrong. Or when our children come home with all types of afkar, ideas. But if you have the knowledge, why do you need to get angry? Sit down with him, remove the doubts that he has, and equip him with the tools to repair a lot of these doubts that may come his way. The knowledge will help you to navigate around the doubts, the shubuhat and the shahwat. And the temptations. Right? I don't just give lectures, my brothers and my sisters, to get people excited. There is an objective behind it for us, my brothers and my sisters, to become serious with learning our deen. This is what we need today. And this is what the enemies of Islam don't want. For you to learn your religion. They wish that you could remain ignorant and there your minds are hijacked. That's what they want. And the solution to all of that is knowledge. I thought I'd leave that all the way to the end. Because this is the most important benefit. We'll stop there inshallah ta'ala. I just want to take a moment now to thank the administration of the masjid. All the brothers who helped make this happen. Guys, it's not respectful to go before it's finished. Right? I want to thank the administration of the masjid who allowed this program to take place. Honestly, I'm so happy to see all of these glowing faces pack the masjid out to the brim. I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to bless every single one of you guys. Right? And I want to thank you all for coming to the masjid. When you could have been doing 101 things on a weekday as well. Some of you guys I know came straight from work. Right? May Allah bless you all. Jazakum Allah khairan. Wa ahsan Allah ilaykum. And I want to say one last thing. Don't look down at individuals who may have come to the masjid, maybe dressed in a way that you're not accustomed to seeing. We've been getting the biggest trappers coming to the masjid. and for you to start looking down at them, you are wrong. They have every right to be in the masjid, just like everyone else. The masjid is not just for the old uncle that you see sitting in the front row. It's for everyone. Right? Ramadan is for everyone, guys. And likewise, my sisters. You may see a sister wearing hijab in a certain way that you're not accustomed to. Right? Might well be a first time she's putting on a hijab or coming to the masjid. Don't be the reason why she's pushed away. جزاكم الله خيرا وأحسن الله إليكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك